So what I'm going to share today is, this is a major correction for me, but I felt it needed to be shared with the body. I will have a number of questions that are just for each one of you to chew on, as God is requiring me to, along with the scriptures that go with it. Last week, I suddenly had an enormous amount of pain. As you all know, I've had this thing in my head. It intensified in intensity, and my whole body was burning with fire, and I was having trouble walking just from that. And when I called Kim for prayer, he said to just keep praying in the Spirit, which I did. And God is very faithful. He eventually does come through. And as I sat, it was early evening, I heard, "And what are you believing me for?" And that really brought me up short. So I took out my journal and I made quite an extensive list and realized that what I had been standing to believe for, I was getting tested on. So that has increased. He also gave me the word 2 days ago, the word expect, and that's going to be woven into what I share today. So let me start with a couple of questions for you. God can do anything, but what will He do for you? What is the biggest thing you believe God can or will do for you today, right now? And I'm going to go to Hebrews 11:1, which is the faith verse. So everything that I say today, God has graciously given me a scripture for. Now, faith is the assurance. I'm in the Amplified. Title deed, confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. So tying into the word expect that the Lord had given me, as I will share what He showed, is expectation is a vital ingredient in your faith walk. So as we look at this scripture on faith, what does the expectation do for you? As I said, I'm going to be causing you to think this through. So that's what the Lord was doing with me. Expectation is a vital ingredient in your faith walk. Going right along with this, this probably was about 2 weeks ago, I had read a message and it pulled me into Hebrews 6. And Hebrews 6 is where and we believe that St. Paul wrote Hebrews, and it doesn't really say. But in the beginning of Hebrews 6, it says, "Therefore, let us get past the elementary stage in the teachings about the Christ, advancing onto maturity and perfection and spiritual completeness, doing this without laying again foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God." as I read through the six things, I thought to myself, I don't think those foundations are really in there. There's pieces of them that are in there, but they're not a solid foundation. And I just lifted that before the Lord and said, okay. Well, within days, and this frequently happens to me, I received a message from John Bevere that he was having a course on foundations. So I said, okay, I'll sign up. So I downloaded all the information. I read the first one on repentance. The correction that I received on repentance is not just a change of mind, but it's a total, complete change of personality. Okay. But the one the Lord focused me on, and I am still in because he has not taken me any further, is faith in God, because that's the second one. And it doesn't take too much to figure out that without repentance and faith in God, you're not going to go any further with the next four. So, let me ask you a question to just think these things through. How important is the foundation of any building? Could be your house, could be the Empire State Building. How important is that foundation? And I'm going to take you over to Isaiah 28:16. Therefore, the Lord God says this, listen carefully. I am laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for the secure foundation, firmly placed. He who believes, who trusts in, relies on, and adheres to that stone will not be disturbed or give way in sudden panic. So this scripture is confirming to us that our foundation stone is in Jesus Christ. So that one's from the Old Testament. From the New Testament, I'm going into 1 Corinthians 3:11. I didn't mark these. I didn't have enough time this morning, but thank you, Lord. So, 1 Corinthians 3:11 from the New Testament. For no one can lay a foundation other than the one which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. What I'm doing here is establishing some of the things the Lord has been doing with foundation. And I'll weave that into how he has been dealing with me personally, which may just relate to you. So I have another question for you. How valuable is the word to you? Do you, the way you esteem scripture determines the level of your expectation. Do you fully believe the God of the Word loves you unconditionally? Do you believe he is faithful? These are just things for you to ponder in your heart, as he is doing with me. So the value of the word to you is critical to your expectation. For me personally, relationships are a very difficult area for me. They have been all of my life. So currently, I am yielding to the Lord on what exactly is my relationship with you. How does it really, I'm not quoting quite the right word. What does it really mean? What does it do? Because I don't have a clear understanding of relationship because of that weakness in my heart. So because for the last couple of weeks I've been limited in mobility, I've had to allow others to help me. That's an enormous change for me, enormous. And the Lord was showing me that I kept thinking, I've got to do this myself. No one is going to help me. But I had no option left. I had to ask for help. So to the level that he can, my husband's been doing like the lifting, which I cannot do. My granddaughter Gigi, that just graduated from college, currently is not pursuing her degree. She's in a healing stage from the relationship with her ex-fiancé that did a lot of damage. So the Lord showed me that I needed to ask her for help because she certainly could use some money at this time also. So I did, I pursued her. She came over last week and planted all the plants in my garden that I got for Mother's Day. That's something I could not do. Did an absolutely gorgeous job. You know, it almost brought me to tears to see how willing she was and how thorough she was. And then this week she came over and one room in my house, the room in the back, has 7 windows. So she took down all the curtains, cleaned all the woodwork, cleaned all the windows, all the screens, and ironed the curtains and put them up. And as I'm watching her do this, I'm thinking, she did a better job than I did. She's very, very thorough in what she did. It was just beautiful, and she's planning to come back to continue to do that. So again, just about brought to tears that her willingness and her joyfulness in doing it. There was no effort on her part. That is a huge step for me, that I can back off and say, Lord, I can't do this. Not that it's forever, but right now I can't do this. I need to let somebody help me. Another big surprise for me in relationship was Mary Jo. When Kim called me and told me, I cried for the whole day. And as I continue to yield this to the Lord, I recognize that the heart of the Lord had given me such a love for her that it was beyond anything that was me. That wasn't me at all, that was him. That a tremendous love. Wow! It overwhelmed me. Just overwhelmed me, which is a real gift from God. Told God, I said, I'm really, really going to miss her, which he already knew. But I'm just awed at God's ability to give that to me. So obviously he's been exposing selfishness, fear, pride, and all that kind of stuff that gets stuck down there. So as I walk out this test, which for me is very difficult because of the pain and pressure, what he has asked me to do, and this may help you in any of your tests, is I bring to mind what he has done for me in the past. And I have found that, especially with this foot, I bring to mind, this happened many years ago, that he healed my foot of a second and third degree burn. Totally. And there were many instances, and I wrote them all down on a list. And what it does is, as the enemy attacks during this time, kind of making you think, well, he's never going to do that for you, it gives you the ammunition to throw at the enemy, say, wait a minute, he did this. And at the time, what the Lord is asking me to do is, when he shows me that, what is the revelation of God that I get from that? What does that do to my heart? And I would ask that you do the same. Anything that, it could be big, it could be small. Those small things are equally as important as the big, because God is still showing you his love and his faithfulness in whatever it is that he does. And sometimes we just need all those little things, because those little things are building a foundation. It's another part of the foundation.
Amen.
That foundation of God's faithfulness and love and your obedience to do whatever little thing, like this morning, I kept smelling the candle. And I'm going, why am I smelling a candle? Finally, I got up and went and got the candle and put it there. Now, that's a very small thing, but that's what he was asking. And as you continue to do that, those levels of obedience in what you perceive as small, it strengthens your foundation. You're learning, and that obedience is being built into your foundation also.
Gail, you and I are probably the only ones who remember this, but do you remember that song, Little Things Mean a Lot?
Very vaguely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what this is reminding me.
Yeah.
They do mean a lot.
They do.
Yeah. Just someone's
do.
Touch on your shoulder means so much sometimes, or a smile, or... Like you say, with a little
system. Even like when you're going somewhere and you know it's going to be a very full parking lot, but you just say, no, he is going to have a parking place.
Yes.
Like we had a party last Sunday night for Hannah. She just got her degree from BayPath for a bachelor's degree in nursing. And I said, okay, Lord, I need a parking lot right near the door. There it was. Right there in front of the door was the parking place. It's like, it's just amazing how those small things really build up in your heart to something that grows bigger. So back to the Word of God. I'm going to read to you 1 Peter 1:23. And this is the definition the Lord brought into my heart for the Word of God. For you have been born again, that is, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and set apart for his purpose, not of seed which is perishable, from that which is imperishable and immortal, that is, through the living and lasting Word of God. Now, another definition, it does not come from the Amplified, but another Bible uses the word incorruptible. So I proceeded to look up these words. So incorruptible is not liable to decay or destruction. And then as I pursued the word imperishable, I went online on my phone to a Bible app. And for imperishable, this word is often underestimated. It is not simply that which has not been corrupted. In a greater way, it refers to those things which are not able to be corrupted. That puts a whole new light on it. So he is saying here that the word of God is not able to be corrupted. And obviously the everlasting word or the eternal word means it lives and abides forever. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, sometimes just getting one word from God makes the difference in what I'm going through, just like when I got the word expect. So from his word, I'm taking you to Acts 27 to show where a word to Paul altered, really, the course of history for him. So this is Acts 27, verses 22 to 25. So Paul is on the ship. And they are in a storm. And it appears that their lives and the ship is going to be lost. So Paul gives the words to the crew. But even now I urge you to keep up your courage and be in good spirits, because there will be no loss of life among you, but only loss of the ship. For this very night an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, stood before me and said, "Stop being afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has given you the lives of all those who are sailing with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I believe God and have complete confidence in him that it will turn out exactly as I have been told." So this is a perfect instance where Paul, who before this happened, they thought that they were done. There is no way to save this ship, no way to save their lives, until an angel of the Lord appears and promises him that God will do it. God will preserve his life and the lives of all the men. At which point, because Paul knew it was from God, he believed. He believed the word of the angel and shared that with the men, and that's exactly what happened. And I just put to you that when you're going through a test, no matter what kind it is, if the Lord brings that one word or few words to you, that's what you hold on to, because God is faithful and will do what that word tells you. Don't forget to use your mouth to speak it. Now, another part of all that I'm sharing is your position. That as you go through these tests and trials, that you bring to mind the importance of your position. So what position is it I'm speaking of? The position is, as stated in Ephesians 1 and 2, our positions is we are sitting with Jesus in heavenly places at God's right hand. Now, I take that by faith. Have I experienced it? No. But the Word of God assures me that's my position. So as I walk out my tests, I need to go back into the Word that assures me this is where I am. That what I am speaking and saying is coming from a heavenly position. That I am already, I'm not going there. The Word of God says I'm already there. That when Jesus went up to the Father, when the Father pulled him in, put him at his right hand, that we went with him. And if we, I'm just going to take you there, because it is so helpful to know that the Word assures us of the truth. So the first one is from Ephesians 1:20, which he produced in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Then I flop over to Ephesians 2:6, and this one cements it in. And he raised us up together with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places, because we are in Christ Jesus. So holding on to your position of where you truly are positionally gives you another piece to that foundation as you walk out your faith in God. Now, I found it interesting that last Sunday, as this pressure again was increasing in intensity, and I just kept submitting to the Lord, that He will cause me to hear what I need to hear. And amazingly enough, I heard perfectly your words, Darlene. I didn't hear too much else, but I heard those words perfectly, which was Mary Jo's words to the body on February 19th. There is a mighty change coming to my church. You will no longer find me where you've always found me. It will now be beyond planning. It will be beyond the analyzing. It will be beyond the got it down pat theory. Now we've got this thing. No. No more. It will be done in my time, in my way, in my planning. You won't know. You won't know until you listen. Listen, 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 and I will do it. Take me out of that box. I'm not in that box. I'm way beyond that box. Look to me where there is no name. Look for me where there is no plan. Look for me where you've never found me before. And there I will be. And there the change will come. When you don't even know what's happening, other than to know it's me. And then Darlene gave her words coming through her of the box, of what the Lord was showing her to do in the box. But that I was able to receive. So as the Lord reminded me of this when I was studying, preparing for this, he reminded me of this. So obviously the Lord is saying that's important. That was an important word to us, and it tied into what you texted me yesterday about not doing everything the same, because that's what this says. So I give that to you. I don't know how many of you have a hot copy of this. If you need a copy, I'll be glad to make you one. So going along with the word, which I started with when I said, how valuable is the word to you? I'm going to take you to Isaiah 55, verse 11. And we're going to recognize this because the pastor has quoted this many times, but perhaps we need to hear it again. Whoops. Wrong one. So will my word, which goes out of my mouth, it will not return to me void, useless, without result, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Which is another scripture for you to hold on to if God gives you a word. We have his assurance that that word will do exactly what it says. And the last thing I heard as I was preparing this is from Romans 1. And this ties into the understanding of faith that the Lord is taking me through. So I'm in Romans 1, 16 and 17. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, both springing from faith and leading to faith, disclosed in a way that awakens more faith. And this is the word that he gave me as I was meditating on this. As it is written and forever remains written, the just and upright shall live by faith. So God was assuring me in this, that in our walk, that faith message from the foundation is critical to our foundation, because he's clearly telling us right here, the just and upright shall live by faith.